The Power 40 podcast is an uplifting, faith-based podcast that speaks to all that is going on in our world. Our goal is to share inspirational, real-life stories and experiences from notable guests around the country on matters that touch us all. The number 40 symbolizes a period of testing, trial, or probation. We all experience trying times in our lives, but it's what comes from these times that make us who we are. As we depict periods of people's lives, where the idea of the number 40 is played out, we will learn the goodness that comes from perseverance, determination, and belief. I'm your host, Danica Tramberg. Today, joined by a defensive man, Matt Donovan, who has played in the Swedish Hockey League for the 2020-21 season and currently plays with the Admirals for this season. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I know, so how does it feel? I know you're from Oklahoma and you're an Oklahoma native. How does it feel to skate in the National Hockey League? I believe you're the first, right?
Yeah, I'm the first born and raised and trained Oklahoman to play in the National Hockey League. There are a couple players that were born in Oklahoma that didn't grow up in Oklahoma that made it to the National Hockey League. So I was the first born and raised that actually lived there and played there growing up. So it's a pretty cool honor and I guess something to have on my resume. It's a pretty cool thing to have. And I'm just hoping that it kind of creates a path for younger kids to kind of hopefully grow up and realize that it's a real thing and they can do it too.
Yeah. And Oklahoma not being like a super well-known for hockey sort of state, what made you get into it, or how are you like hockey? Yeah.
Yeah. So my dad's originally from Boston and okay. He moved to Oklahoma, in college on a college exchange program actually, and moved, to a little school in Oklahoma and met my mom and liked Oklahoma and stayed in Oklahoma, moved to Oklahoma City and kind of got into the rink business, just from playing men's league hockey and being around the rinks. He got into the rink business. So he's actually ran a rink ever since I was born. So I grew up a rink rat. I was always at the rink. While my dad was working, I was always running around either on the ice or just rollerblading around the rink with a stick in my hand. And, it was hockey all the time from day one when I was a little kid.
Wow. I gotta imagine not just being around it, but did you have someone you looked up to that was in the sport already when you were young?
Yeah, I think mainly my dad. I mean, he was obviously the biggest influence for me. Obviously, like I said, he ran a rink. So there were some older players, like one of my best friends, older brother, played at a really high level, and he kind of paved the way for me. And Mick Berge, he went on to play in the USHL and Division I college in Minnesota. So he was someone that was a little older that I could kind of follow in his path and see what he was doing. And I wanted to be like him. And then also we had the Oklahoma City Blazers. They were a Central Hockey League team. I would always go to their games. And so those were kind of the people that I grew up wanting to be. And obviously in Oklahoma, we weren't watching the NHL a lot. We had the Dallas Stars not too far away. So
yeah,
they'd be on TV every now and then, but I never really watched the NHL. So I never really thought that was something that I could do. But luckily it worked out.
That's awesome. What was it like, since it was something that not a lot of people did, what was it like, you know, creating that path? Like, was it hard to find players to play with or teams to play on? Or, you know, was it a hike to get to practices, or how did that work?
No, it wasn't hard to get to practices. Like I said, my dad ran a rink, so it was easy to find ice, but I was on the ice all the time. I was lucky enough. I had a small group of buddies that were also pretty good hockey players, and we were always at the rink. If we didn't have practice, we were on the ice by ourselves, messing around, playing yeah. against each other, pushing each other. And so, like I said, I was lucky to have them and our small group of guys that were still friends today all went on to play pretty high level of hockey. So so they pushed me, and obviously in Oklahoma and small places that hockey's not big, you need to leave eventually. So when I was 16, I had to move to Dallas to play AAA hockey, which is a level higher than what we have in Oklahoma. So, and that way it was tough, because I had to leave home at such a young age, when I was a sophomore in high school. So that was tough, but that's one of the adversity. I mean, a lot of kids do it nowadays to go play in different places. So it's really not out of the norm now, but, coming from Oklahoma, I was one of the first ones to do it. So it wasn't normal. And, it was hard, but, it worked out in the end.
Did you ever feel like you were missing out of part of your high school experience or anything when you had to make sacrifices like that?
Not really, because hockey was my life. And
yeah,
I went to school to go to school and get it over with, and so I could go to the rink. It was hockey was always my main part of my life. So my parents were always big on education and wanted me to do well in school. So I always did pretty well in school. But yeah, once school was over, I was always straight to the rink and wanting to be on the ice.
Did their dreams of playing at a high level, did that feel attainable to you? I think sometimes, like, kids at a young age, either you have confidence in your abilities or you don't. And sometimes it takes longer for kids to, know what they're capable of. Was that something that you ever, struggled with?
Yeah, I think as a kid growing up in Oklahoma, like I said, I didn't watch a lot of NHL hockey. So I was naive to think that, oh, one day I could make it to the NHL. That was never really a goal of mine until I got older and I was really close to it. But so when my goals as a younger kid and being in high school was just to be better than whoever I was with on the ice. Like, I didn't see the next level or professional hockey or the NHL. I never really looked at that until I was close. So I was always loved to compete when I got on the ice, and whoever I was lined up against, I wanted to beat them.
How did you find your way over to the Swedish Hockey League? How did that happen?
Yeah. So it was after my fifth year pro, I didn't have a great year, and free agency kind of starts and your agent's looking for a job for you, and nothing really comes up and you don't like the money that's being offered or where the place is. And then you start looking other places, and there's a lot of good options overseas. And that's kind of how Sweden came up. I had an ex-teammate play for this team in Sweden. He was like, hey, we're looking for a defenseman. And it kind of all worked out that way. And I loved it there. And obviously Swedish hockey's really good. There's a lot of good Swedish players. So the league's really good. The country's beautiful. The people are really nice. Everyone speaks English. So it was a pretty easy transition, and I liked it enough to sign there another year. So I played over there for 2 years and then decided to come back and give the NHL another shot, and been in Milwaukee since. And then obviously with last year, everything that went on, Sweden was still playing and the Admirals canceled the season. So I needed a place to play. And I had an opportunity to go back to Sweden for a couple months, and I was familiar with it and knew that the hockey was really good. And I knew about it already because I had played there for 2 years. So I said, okay, let's go for a couple more months and keep playing hockey. So, but luckily we're back to somewhat normal, and I'm back in Milwaukee.
That's really fortunate too, that you found something during that 2020 time period to do and somewhere to play. Did you have friends or fellow teammates that just had to take like an off year?
Yeah, there were a lot of guys that didn't have jobs, and it was kind of a scramble once everything kind of started back up to find somewhere to play. So I was fortunate enough just to be able to find a team and make a little money for my family and have a job, because a lot of people didn't end up actually getting a job and making any money. So I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity. But like I said, I'm glad we're back to somewhat normal.
Yeah. Speaking of family, do you have kids?
Yes, I have two boys, an almost 6-year-old and an almost 3-year-old.
Are they on the ice yet?
Yes. My 6-year-old, you can't get him off the ice. And my 3-year-old is just now, he's a late bloomer. My 6-year-old was all about hockey, loved being on skates and being on the ice. And my 3-year-old isn't so much about it. So we're not pushing him too much, but he's starting to like getting on the ice. So he can stand up by himself and skate a little bit, but like I said, he's a late bloomer. So he's just now getting started.
How young can you get these kids on the ice these days?
Well, my 6-year-old was on the ice. Like he was walking at 8 months. Like he was a crazy kid. you couldn't get him to sit still. So he was skating by himself at like 16 months. So pretty early. He's kind of not normal. He's a psychopath like his mother. So no, I'm just kidding. He's a good kid. And, like I said, he's just crazy about it, just like I was as a kid. So
say that little guy wants to be in the NHL someday. Like, what would you do with him? What would be like your path of success and kind of like just basically like his trajectory? What would he do next and next? Where would he like go to school? What would that look like?
For me, it was so, like I said, I was so naive to everything. I just kind of lived day to day and wherever hockey took me. And I think that's kind of how I'll be with him. If he wants to play, go play. If he wants me to take him to the rink, I'll take him to the rink. But if he doesn't, I'm fine with that too. My dad never really pushed me hard to, you're going to play hockey. You're going to make it to the NHL. Obviously it was a little different because I was in Oklahoma and no one had done that before. So he couldn't really say that, but I'm going to be a lot like my dad. And if he wants to play, and I'm going to tell him to go out there and work hard and have fun. But if he doesn't, then hey, you can do whatever he wants.
I feel like there's such interesting conversations around youth sports. And I know I have like my nephews of my own and they're, you know, multi-sport athletes, but they like some sports better than others. Do you think it's important for kids to play multiple sports?
Definitely. I played hockey, golf, football, baseball. I never got into basketball, but my son likes basketball. So I'm going to put him in every sport he wants to play. He's about to actually start baseball. So getting geared up for that. Yeah. He loves sports and I think it's important to play multiple sports, not just a lot. Yeah. Like you said, there's a lot of conversation about some youth parents sticking to one sport and playing that all year round. And I think that's not really the right way to do it. I think if a kid wants to do it, they're going to do it on their own. And I don't think you should push them in one direction. I think they should you should have them play multiple sports and figure out what they like and what they're good at and what they're passionate about.
Yeah. And I feel too, sometimes when you put these kids in the sports so early and that's all they're doing every day, aside from school, the burnout becomes terrible for them, or it comes at such an earlier age. And now they're like, I don't even want to play it in high school. Because it was too much. It was so intense, you know, in my grade school, middle school years.
Yep, exactly. I don't want that for him. And obviously I didn't have that for me. I think you let them, like I said, let them pick what they're passionate about and let them decide how hard they want to work at it and how much they want to do it.
All right. One of my last questions for you would be if a younger person came up to you and just had a dream of maybe playing professionally any sport, or, you know, just had a goal in mind, what kind of advice would you give them to achieve that dream or that goal?
I would say have fun. Like we just talked about, parents are pushing these kids so hard to be so good and do all these lessons and play it all year round, and just have fun. Like if you're not having fun, you're not going to succeed. So find something you're having fun at. And if you're having fun, you're going to work hard at it. And when you're working hard, you're going to get better. So have fun, work hard at it. And remember, it's just a game. You want to compete with your buddies or your competition. You want to compete and be the best you can, but at the same time, it's a game. So have fun and work hard at the same time.
I love it. And as we close out today and just reflect on the power of 40 in our lives, maybe trials we're going through or have overcome, we understand that in life we'll continue to experience the good and the bad that life throws our way. And the number 40 is also significant in regards to time. And we talk about how Jesus has spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness and all of these things that relate to 40. And Matt, if you had just 40 minutes to impact the world, maybe it's the world of hockey, maybe it's your family, maybe it's just people that you come across on a day-to-day basis, where would you start and what would you say? Just 40 minutes to impact people.
Oh, man. I think I'd spend it with my family and just talk about being a good person and loving people for who they are and not trying to change people and working hard at whatever you do. And like I said, at the same time, you got to have fun, and mm-hmm. whether that's in sports or life, don't go through life being in a bad mood all the time. You find something you love and you'll work hard at it and you'll get better at it, whether that's sports or life.
That's so true. I definitely think that's something that anyone can take to heart and apply in their life. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
For more information on the Power 40 podcast, visit powerofhumans.com. Also stream the podcast on your preferred streaming service.